It's recording now. Now, this is Rabbi Zalman Uri?
Yeah, Uri, U-R-Y.
U-R-Y?
Yeah.
Okay. When did you come first to know the Rosh Yeshiva?
In the middle 30s.
Where?
Yeah, in Kletz.
In Kletz. And where did you come from before that?
Stapitz.
Stapitz,
not far from there. Not far from Mir.
Because my father came from Mir.
Oh, but it's very, very close.
1914.
Yeah.
It's a long time ago. So where were you before Kletzk?
Well, I was born in Stapitz, and then I was only 10 years old. And
yeah.
I came to Yeshiva.
That's remarkable, no?
Mm-hmm.
That's very, usually I come much older.
Well, first I was in the Yeshiva Ketanya, but then... Okay, so you ready to hear?
Yeah, I'm ready to hear.
Now, what I'm going to tell you are things not exactly, not necessarily in chronological order.
As best as you can.
Yeah. One day, there was a Kinnus Rabbonim in Warsaw.
Yeah.
Warsaw.
You remember when it was?
When?
The year.
The year? It must have been already in the 30s.
In the 30s.
Before the war.
Before the war.
Yeah, early 30s because the Chofetz Chaim is involved.
Uh-huh.
So the Chofetz Chaim passed away in 1933.
Uh-huh.
So, all right, so... Shiva went there to the meeting, to the kinnus.
Yeah.
And then he met privately with the Chofetz Chaim.
Uh-huh.
Privately. And they were talking about all kinds of things. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the conversation, Shaloi Minayinian, Chofetz Chaim Zokt, yeah, I'll say it in Yiddish the way he said it.
Yeah, yeah.
As me hripton a mesichte daf me ze endigen.
Uh-huh.
If you start a mesichte in the Gemara, you have to finish it. The Shiva didn't catch anything there. Kept on talking to him.
Yeah.
A few minutes later, Chofetz Chaim says again, I'm a hipter, I'm a shichter, that's the ending.
Uh-huh.
Again, the Oshiva didn't react.
Yeah.
A third time he said the same thing. The Oshiva finally realized, when the Shiva is not in operation,
yeah.
The Oshiva used to take a zaita kime shichter,
uh-huh.
A non-Yeshiva to kime shichter.
Yeah.
And he didn't have a chance to finish it.
Uh-huh.
And Chofetz Chaim had it, he knew it.
Yeah.
Without Ruach HaKodesh, he wouldn't know.
Uh-huh.
Nobody told him.
Yeah.
So that was one story.
Okay. Very nice. You heard this from who?
In Yeshiva, the whole Yeshiva was talking.
Oh, at that time?
Everybody was talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Another thing.
Yeah.
That happened on a Purim in Kletzk. Purim.
Yeah.
The Shiva loved music.
Yeah.
There was one bocher who played the violin.
Uh-huh.
And I remember, like now, there was a big studio in his house, and I was sitting there at the end of the table and watching, and the bocher sat down on the floor with his violin, and he played. And the Shiva really enjoyed it.
Uh-huh.
That's one incident.
Yeah. Okay.
Now going back to Slabodka. In here there was a Rav Shmuel.
Before Kletzk.
Before. That goes back to the 20s.
Yeah.
There was a rabbi, Rav Shmuel Katz, in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And he was a Talmud in Slabodka the same time as the Rosh Yeshiva.
Uh huh.
And so it was a summer vacation.
Yeah.
There had been a Zmanim, been a Mtsurim, usually.
Yeah.
And they went on a lake in a little boat.
Yeah.
And everybody had a good time.
Yeah.
And the Rosh Yeshiva was busy with the Rambam.
Yeah, on the boat.
On the boat. All of a sudden he jumps up and says, Oi, Gewalt, was will the Rambam von dem Hoben driven? Was will the Rambam von dem Hoben? The Rambam doch gerecht. Oh, spontaneously.
Yeah.
He was present and he heard it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Now, going back to the 30s.
Yeah.
My father, Olav Asholem, Hashem Yimkun Domoy, perished in the Holocaust together with the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the only one survived.
Mm-hmm.
The father of Sholem was like a traveling salesman, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
So he went in a train, he traveled, and he had a lot of packages.
Yeah.
And the Roshiva was in the same compartment. Mm-hmm. But he didn't know him.
In the train?
Yeah, my father didn't know him. So he thought it's a Magid or somebody.
Yeah.
So he asked him, can you help me carry a package? Because it was too much. So the Roshiva said, yeah. He gave him a package, and the Roshiva wasn't a big Gibber.
Was not.
What?
He's not a big Gibber.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
And he didn't eat much either. The rabbits used to complain that he doesn't eat much.
Yeah.
So, he carried it,
yeah,
and to the destination.
Uh-huh.
Finally, something happened.
Yeah.
My uncle, my mother's brother, Hashem Yimkun Domam,
yeah,
Avshaya Barshansky,
yeah,
he was one of the Ilu in the yeshiva.
By Klatsk.
Klatsk. And he was always eating at the table of the yeshiva,
yeah,
on Shabbos.
Uh-huh.
And many times, even as a young boy, the Bocher then, he used to take me to the table too, in his house.
Mm-hmm.
So the Roshiva told him at the table during the Suda, and he was smiling. He says, you know, I was Mekayim HaMitzvah Bozev Tazev.
Yeah, and this Meisa.
Yeah. So my uncle got suspicious. He says, who was the younger man? Who was it? So he didn't know his name. So he said, but he was a Stapster Eid mit Peklach. Ah, so my uncle put two and two together, and you know it was him,
uh-huh,
the father, his Shvoger.
Yeah.
So he contacted my father Al-Shom at that time and said, when you come to Klatsk, you used to come there for business,
yeah,
you go to Shiva and ask him a shilly.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, he, by him, he came to Klatsk and he listened to him, to my shvoga, to my fetter, and he went to the Shiva and asked him mechile. So she said, what's a mechile? You give me a mitzvah for Zev Tazev. And every year my father, once he used to come to Klatsk for business, so he would come to the Shiva and say Shalom Aleichem to him, and they became friends like this.
Okay. Well.
Now, another story that I don't know when to put it. It must have been again early 30s or something.
Yeah.
There was one Bocher Yeshiva who became deranged.
Uh-huh.
Became a sugar.
Uh-huh.
They put him in Warsaw in a special institution.
Yeah.
In Yiddish, they call it a Meshugoyim.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. The Shiva, when he came to Russia for a meeting or something,
yeah,
he would go to visit him, see if he's improving,
yeah,
if he's improving, making progress.
Yeah.
But he remained Meshuggah.
Yeah.
Finally, he said to the Shiva, you are a big Chacham. I want you to... they met on the seventh floor.
Yeah.
He said to him, I want you to show me that you can do an S, jump out of the window, and then come back and tell me.
Yeah.
The Shiva was sorry, and the Bocher kept on insisting.
Yeah.
He would get violent.
Yeah.
So the Shiva says to him, listen, I'll show you a bigger mess.
Yeah.
I'll go down and I will jump up, come to the seventh floor. And come up. So the Bocher said, oh, that's a bigger mess. Go down. So that was it.
Yeah.
So he went down.
Very nice.
Yeah.
What else?
All right, now, during the war, in the early 40s, during the big war,
yeah,
people were in Siberia and then in Uzbekistan,
yeah,
Samarkand.
Yeah.
He went to America, I think it was 1942, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And he promised us that he will take us out of there. And he kept his word. He did everything possible to get the papers.
Mm-hmm.
And during the war years, people died of starvation,
mm-hmm,
and there wasn't enough medical treatment.
Yeah.
So he arranged two things. first the joint.
Mm-hmm.
Joint Distribution Committee.
Yeah.
Sent us packages.
He had something to do with it.
Yeah. But he gave us the names and address and urged them. And they always want to help Jews.
Uh-huh. And they knew exactly where you were?
Yeah, we were in contact by mail.
Uh-huh.
There was no...
The mail worked.
Yeah, the mail worked.
Even though the war was going on.
Right. But we were far from the front.
Uh-huh.
Very far.
You were in Russia?
Yeah, Soviet Union, and it was Uzbekistan.
Uzbekistan, okay.
Today it's a republic.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Yeah. So, the packages we received kept us really going.
Yeah.
Because we would eat the food or some other things we would sell and buy bread.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Bread was as gold.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Oy. In one winter.
So the Rosh Yeshiva knew where everybody was.
Yes,
kept track.
In fact, the Rebbetzin, Zecheinu Levracha, Karapel,
yeah.
She knew Russian well,
uh-huh.
And she would write in Russian.
Uh-huh.
And it was even better because then the censorship didn't, you know, had trouble reading it.
Oh yeah, the Russians. Who's the censor? It was Bekin.
No. They for all mail was censored during the war.
Yeah.
But if you write in Yiddish, they held it up till they find somebody who knows Yiddish.
Uh-huh.
But in Russian, it went through faster.
You mean over here?
No, from here to Uzbekistan.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But the Russians themselves could read the letter.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
There was nothing there that was anti-government.
The fact that he could read it was better because they knew right away there was nothing.
That's right. And then he arranged that the Baratzol, he was so active in Baratzol.
Yeah.
One of the leaders.
Uh-huh.
He also received packages from joint and from Baratzoli.
Uh-huh. The joint and Baratzoli are separate.
Yes, separate.
Uh-huh.
And that really was mamish pekuach nefesh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Slowly.
Because in one winter, I think 41,
yeah.
It was a bad, cold winter. Even in Uzbekistan, it's like California.
Yeah.
There's no snow here.
Uh-huh.
At that time, winter was so cold, snow came down.
Uh-huh.
And we were freezing, we didn't have enough heating, you know that.
Yeah.
And so these packages were mamash a lifesaver.
Uh-huh. Do you remember my sinklets with a barber with the Rosh Yeshiva?
No.
No, somebody told me mice like that. An Arab shop, if somebody came for a haircut, from America, you don't know that mice.
No.
Okay.
No.
I don't tell us. What else you got?
Now, another occasion.
Yeah.
Shabbos, again in the 30s.
Yeah.
Lunchtime at his home.
Yeah.
I was at the table together with my uncle.
Yeah.
And then... Well, I know what the occasion was. He picked up a little course of whiskey, I think it was.
Yeah.
And said L'chaim.
Yeah.
And he said, "You wrote some Mislohob Nachas von Hitler." Yeah. At that time, we didn't know what to expect yet.
Yeah.
But we knew that trouble is ahead. Because in Mein Kampf, he said what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So this was before they made the war.
Before.
Yeah.
It was in the middle of the 30s.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, how did Rosh Yeshiva read a newspaper?
Okay.
There was a good paper called Togblatt in Warsaw.
Yeah.
And so I was there. I ate at the house of Rosh Yeshiva.
You ate what?
I ate a Tog.
Yeah.
I ate at his home at Avshach Zatzal.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I have time later, remind me, I'll tell you something about Rav Shach.
Go ahead, yeah. I got time.
Yeah. Now, so I set a table and eat, and he come by. You know, I spring up and I stand up, and then he takes the paper, he looks at the headlines, and puts it back.
Uh-huh.
That's how we read it.
Uh-huh.
Just the headlines.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And they say that when he was a bocher, he played chess very good.
Yeah.
And his daughter, Sori, Alei HaShalom, played very well.
Yeah.
And many times she was playing with somebody, he walked by, just in passing. He said, oh, make this move, that move.
Uh-huh.
He gave instructions.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now.
Yeah.
Now we go to America. I came to Lakewood with my wife and a little baby in 1947.
Uh-huh. Where did you come from at that time?
We came like this. We were in Uzbekistan.
Yeah.
Then we traveled to... from there we traveled to Prague,
yeah.
Czechoslovakia. From Prague to Paris.
Uh-huh.
From Paris to London. And from London, Southampton, we had a boat.
Uh-huh.
I think I ever came to New York.
Uh-huh.
In February 1947.
Uh-huh.
Now,
yeah.
Then I was there for a year and a half, a year and three quarters.
You kept the receiver?
Yeah.
In Lakewood?
In Lakewood, of course.
Uh-huh.
He brought, he gave me papers and all that.
Uh-huh.
Now, I had only two children at that time, and the receiver gave $18 a week.
Uh-huh.
We had that hard time.
Yeah.
And my wife insisted that I take a job of teaching or something and be a little better off.
Yeah.
So I came to Esno. He was summertime, 48.
Yeah.
And he was about Dutch in Woodridge, New York.
Huh.
So I became the pastor. He was sitting on the Gemara or Rambam, I don't remember. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sitting on the lawn.
Yeah.
And so I start talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, you keep to ask me an eitzi or ask me? So I said, Chazog dem Roshibi dem Emes, ich will ask me. So he said like this. The Emes is still young, he should definitely learn, he should take and learn. But I would not say no, because instead of so, because I'm teaching my job was in St. Louis.
Where?
Yeah, St. Louis.
Central what?
St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay.
That was my teaching position.
Yeah.
So he said, instead of some because I'm teaching Yiddish Kinder in St. Louis,
yeah.
I better let a Talmud of mine teach Torah to Yiddish Kinder.
Uh-huh.
That was his motivation, that he didn't say no.
Uh-huh.
And he gave me his bocha.
Mm-hmm. How did you come to St. Louis?
Well, I was offered a job.
But who made the contact?
The contact?
Yeah.
Well, there was another Arab, Chava Egozi.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Gave
from Florida, right?
Yeah. So he already received an offer there. So
uh-huh.
He told me about it.
Uh-huh.
So that's how it went.
Uh-huh. I tried to speak to him when I was in Florida, but I couldn't get to him.
Uh-huh.
It's hard. He's a little bit older, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand his wife is not well.
Uh-huh. So I go to Florida once in a while, so I'm there, I look for people like this,
mm-hmm.
and somebody gave me his name, and I just couldn't get through.
Mm-hmm.
It's not possible. Not everybody's available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, in St. Louis, I spent 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching first as a teacher and then as a principal of the Epstein Hebrew Academy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
After 9 years, I developed hay fever.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife too.
And in Lakewood, you didn't have hay fever?
No.
Lakewood was the capital from hay fever.
Really?
Yep.
Well, I guess it takes time to sink in.
I never had hay fever. I came one day to Lakewood, had tremendous hay fever for years.
Oh, you mean. So in St. Louis, I used to have to have shots every year. It was tough.
Mm-hmm.
So I see things, I'm in the Shemayim. You know Dr. Kamenetsky? Olam HaSholem?
No.
He was the head of Torah Masura.
Oh, yeah, I heard him. I didn't know him.
Yeah. So we were friends.
Yeah.
Now he came to my office and he gets a phone call from California, from
yeah.
Los Angeles, and he gets pale. Angry people yelling at him. What happened? Rabbi Egozi came there. He was at that time in Providence.
Yeah.
He came to us in Los Angeles and. And at the price of $500 travel expenses they paid him, And he accepted a position. And then he came back to Providence, and his people offered him a little more money. He remained. He decided to remain there. So he pulled out. Rabbi Simon Dolgin.
Dolgin,
who was a very powerful person. He had a school. He worked academy. And it was early June, and he was worried whether I'd get a principal. Kamenetsky was in my office, so I told him, put my name down.
When you were in St. Louis?
Yeah. Things happen sometimes, I'll tell you, all these years that I survived, it was Nisim. As if somebody held me by the hand and slapped me out. It was impossible to comprehend how we survived. I was in the Kohoz in Samarkand. First. And we worked by picking cotton in the fields, digging canals. And I developed dysentery, malaria, typhoid fever, dysentery, jaundice. Don't ask. I was so emaciated that I don't know how I survived. So I was only 16 at that time. So the Bochum, another Ashkocha was that we always a group of Bochum. We're not alone. And in all the choice, we had Kvisi Yitim Latero.
That's from there.
From Bukhara Jews. Bukhara Jews, that's for him. So at that time, we were in Samarkand, Baruch Hashem finished Mesichta Shabbos. And then we learned Chol, I'll tell you, it was Nisenism. I was survived here elsewise. So they put me in a jet dome, in a Kinderheim. And the Polish government had organized for Polish citizens, for orphans. So I was there for a time, and then I met my wife, and we were married right after the war. Okay. So I came to Los Angeles, and I'm here already 45 years.
What's your position in Los Angeles?
First, I came as the Hillel principal. Then, after 2 years, I became a consultant at the Bureau of Jewish Education. And at that time, the Issa came out from the Rosh Hashivas that rabbis should not join the board of rabbis with the conservative reform. So this was, the Bureau of Jewish Education works with all schools. So I sent the Shaila to the Rosh Hashiva. And he passed, and I have the Shaila. It was published in his sefer and in my sefer. I published the sefer a couple of years ago. Kedushas Avraham.
What's it called?
Kedushas Avraham.
Who's that?
My father's name.
And what's the sefer? What area did it cover?
Oh, it's a sefer of two volumes. And it has four departments. One is correspondence, Shalis and Shuris. And then with Reb Simcha Wasserman, you heard of him?
Sure.
He was a close friend. He lived here, and then he made Aliyah.
I remember.
Correspondence. And with Rav Henkin, with Rav Meshe Feinstein, with Rosh Shiva. And this Shalis they published too. And he said like this, the Issa is only how to not to cooperate with rabbis. Because you give them the gushpanke as if they are rabbis. But with Balabatim, is okay. One condition he put, that they will not mix into the curriculum. They wouldn't tell you what to teach. And they don't. In this day, I'm new at all. And so, I've been there for 44 years.
So any other more contacts over the years with the Rosh Hashiva?
So, when I came to Los Angeles, it's before even the Shaila of the Bureau, because at that time I came to Hillel.
You came to Hillel?
As a principal.
Yeah.
I came to Lakewood and I said things like this. You know, first I left Lakewood, I went to St. Louis, which is already far. Then I went to the end of America, to the Myers. And there's a Midbush Mama there. Mama's a Midbush Mama.
Now it's much better, no?
Today it's becoming a year of Amy, so.
I was just there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I went to Ginsburg's Hasana.
Who's Hasana?
Ginsburg.
Oh, Ginsburg's Hasana.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't make it.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah. Ginsburg's not coming from Lakewood.
Huh?
Ginsburg is not
coming. Yeah, I know him from here.
So I talked to him. Is it right what I do?
Mm-hmm.
So he said like this. The Gemara tells us, Rav Shimon ben Rebbe is the elder Levata.
I couldn't hear.
Rav Shimon ben Rebbe, Rav Shimon the son of Rebbe.
Yeah.
His wife gave birth to a daughter.
Yeah.
And Chol Shadayte.
Chol Shadayte.
He wanted his Rebbe Zohar. So he came to his father. And the father wrote him, Gegem Nechome. The father said, Efshal Elom Blitzchore Blin Akevis.
Yes.
So, it has to be.
Yeah.
He comes out of the house of the rabbi of his father, and Bar Kapoor meets him.
Yeah.
And Bar Kapoor, not Kale gemacht. He said to him, Tanchumi Mishal Hevel Nechamoch Avichol. No, it's a Hevel.
Yeah.
Asher Misha Bona Zchoim. Oyle Misha Bona Vnekevis. All right. So the Shiva said, excuse me.
Yeah.
Hashiva said that the Vilna Gaon has several questions about this Gemara.
Yeah.
And the Vilna Gaon said like this, that the chilek van Yochid b'sibur. Every Yochid can say, Ani es nafshi hitzalti.
Huh.
He sits in Lakewood, he sits in Bnei Barak, in Mansi.
Yeah.
Yashalayim.
Yeah.
And he doesn't get me involved with the other Jews who are the majority.
Yeah.
Oh, but he said the Tzibur has an achayas. That somebody should teach Torah to Yiddish kinder.
Yeah.
And not to say I need snafshi salty.
Uh-huh.
So I understood the answer that if I feel the achayas, I should do it what I do.
Mm-hmm. Instead of what?
Instead of going back to the East Coast, to hide myself, and worry about my own family. That was his answer. I'll smack what the Goyen says.
Okay. Next story.
Next. You know, the Shiva. Hello?
Yeah.
He not only liked to hear Chidushim, Akasha, but he liked any Chidushim in the middle of the hour, something unusual.
Yeah.
When we came to America,
my
wife had a great uncle here.
Yeah.
And my little daughter was the fifth generation.
Uh-huh.
And the uncle came to Hashiva. So he said, he was so excited.
Yeah.
My daughter is right there, Ador Hamishi. So he always liked to see something that's Shaloi.
Derech HaTeva,
that's right. Uh-huh. Now, next one.
Yeah.
Now, that's a complicated theory he made. He said about the Chofetz Chaim, that with him, with his passing, with his pedigree, there is a cloud doctor that the last of the Tkufa is the biggest.
Yeah.
Bring the higher from the Goinim. From Tkufa is a Goinim.
Yeah.
As a Rabbi Goin, the last Goin.
Yeah.
And he was the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, Chofetz Chaim was also the greatest. However, he says he's unable to define what is the Tkufa. What did Kufa is, he was unable to define.
Uh-huh. When did the Kufa start? After the Goyim?
Yeah, that's right.
From the Goyim's time on?
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
He didn't have a clear explanation of that.
Uh-huh.
But he was convinced, he said, that with him, it's like he ended that Kufa.
I wasn't around then, but you could... vouch for that you realize that too, what he said. I mean, you could have a feeling for that.
Yeah, I don't know. I felt like the tkufe of the Gedolim. I think that Ramesha Feinstein, that's on Rabbi Yanko Kamenetsky, Ruderman, they were still with that kufe.
Yeah.
Because they came from Slabodka, they came from Russland. But America doesn't produce any Muslims.
They say this, but they don't know why. What's the matter where America can't produce people like this?
Yeah.
Do you have an answer?
So, but however, you know what I have a word to say?
Yeah.
Take, we are in Dur Yosem, on Skatno Adurus.
Yeah.
On Eretz, Trefen and Medina, and we live next to Hollywood.
Yeah.
I mean, Erbas Eretz.
Yeah, yes. Nebuch, the Hollywood is the Rhein gekrochen in all of England from the world.
MS.
You can't run away from it. I went to a car dealer on Friday. I had my car service.
Yeah.
They played the television. So I went. In the back, I don't want to see what it says, but I heard what they were saying, and I said to myself, if somebody would say this 30 years ago, he'd be put in jail.
Yeah.
And the people sit there, they listen to it, and it doesn't bother them one iota. It's like they're so used to it already.
That's right.
It's unbelievable.
America is a great country, and Eden had found a home here.
Yeah.
And also with Prince Sator, Yeshiva, of our opposites from Satan, right?
The tumor.
The morality goes down and down.
But it's not different than any place else.
No, well.
The ganze Welt is China, right?
But America is the leader.
They started it.
Yeah, they started it.
Yeah.
They started Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. I have an uncle, I have an aunt, not an aunt, a cousin from my mother.
Yeah.
Her father was in the early time, and they said to him, his brother was, I mean, one of the relatives was named Fox.
Mm-hmm.
He says, they've made a new invention. It's in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Motion pictures.
Mm-hmm.
We want to do this. He says, he's like, yeah, but you're going to get out of here. What are you talking about? And they started the whole thing.
Yeah.
And they brought it up. They took it from Brooklyn to Hollywood because the weather is better.
Yeah. So what I wanted to say is that in the doors in Skatno, we are up the halacha, as David the Melech and Avraham Avinu. Echad ha-yoshi la-mechomo ve-echad ha-yoshi ba-kele.
Had the last parsha. And Balach Lecha.
We just had it. Yeah. But David HaMelech learned from Avom.
Right.
What do we learn? Same thing with Doris. They were the Gdorim from Ausgekämpft.
Yeah.
They formed a ganze Tere.
Right.
We have to, even if we only keep it going, even if we don't add anything, but we Yoshua HaKelim and we see that it's preserved, Dayeno, we also accomplish something.
Yeah.
So we have a chelik in the Tere too.
We're sitting on the Kelim.
Sitting on the Kelim.
Very good.
Yeah. That he didn't say that. That's my story.
I hear.
Yeah. I don't want to say this.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a pasha. It's just not a double push it.
Yeah.
Now,
next.
The Shiva didn't tolerate interruptions in the Shiva.
Right.
In Kletsky, yet the Shiva lasted 2 hours.
Uh-huh.
And the people were standing.
Yeah.
In here, people are sitting, it's only 1 hour.
Yeah.
In Lakewood.
Uh-huh.
He realized that it's a different Elam.
Uh-huh. It has different kaiches.
Avade.
So you mean Europe has stronger kirchhoff than here?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you say the country made people weak?
Yeah, whatever it is.
The Avir.
Oh, you're talking about Avir. Hatzko.
Yeah.
Levenstein.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw him too.
Oh, yeah? He came only here for a while.
I know.
And he ran away back to Israel.
Yeah.
To Israel. Why?
Couldn't
he said America is the factory for Elam Hazeh.
He was
See the factory for Elam Hazeh.
That's right.
He couldn't take it.
Uh-huh. Hmm? I was in Panovich one day in 1962. I went to visit on Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
So I was there. I heard him. He had a schmooze from a Pasco at night. On Friday night, he gets a little schmooze. The Shabbos in the morning, we went to, I went with a friend, we went back to Davin. 7 o'clock or whatever. I'm sitting there around. The base medrash is practically empty. I mean, there's a few people there. And there's a clay yidl, metabaisabot, zeitacharim. And they came past me to give me a look. So I said to somebody else, who was that man? He said, that's Reb Chasko. So I told him, no, that was not Reb Chasko. That was a malach. So since that day, I tell everybody that story. And I didn't know who he was. Nobody, he had no introduction. Nobody explained me. I never heard of him before. I didn't even recognize him. But I saw something that he had such a look, such a blick of like a malach. I said, to this day, I have this picture before my eye.
I heard from someone who's a Kamenitzer Talmud, he was a Shanghai.
Yeah.
With Reb Chasko. He says he knows that Reb Chasko had a Ruach HaKodesh.
Because I saw it. I saw it. Nobody told me. Nobody told me this man is important. I just saw, he's Mr. Weissabod, and Zaytzacharim. He gave me a look. I said, that look, I still see it to this day.
You still feel it?
I still feel that look. Yeah, but I didn't say, I know who he was.
Yeah, now, somebody came to him, I didn't learn it, a bocha.
Yeah.
It was Shiva. Yeah, and I had, he said, I knew this boy, and it wasn't good, it was Krum. He said, you kicked off that event. And sometimes, when it was very cool, he said, I swear, since you took a vent of it. That's how he said.
Yeah.
Now, I remember that in Kletsk, there was a best, three or four abonim.
Yeah.
Hoshua abonim.
Yeah.
I said, come on, I swear, shyly.
Yeah.
I have an ox.
Yeah.
They bring me tzar after Hoshua to the best.
Yeah.
We didn't know at that time that he is a Rangiton in Yonim. Because later, after so I said that he received Shilas from Germany from all over.
Yeah.
And then we didn't expect him to. He became a Masgir, a Balmusser at the end, his Mishnas Rabban.
Yeah.
Again, in the early 30s, we didn't expect it from him.
Did you realize all the time that this is somebody different, out of the ordinary?
In Europe, they used to call him the Junger Rabbi Kweger. The Bochum used to be make fun. They said like this, in the early years, once at maybe Rosh Hashanah or Yomimah, he said a shmur.
Yeah.
There was a Mashgiach, but he said a shmur. So, azok ta shmur, and azok ta zik, the Ramo zok ta chicham and atshuv eto. The Ramo, ask the chicham and atshuv eto.
Yeah, that was the shmur.
Yeah. Now, I have one more item. You do know Rabbi Pinchas Goman?
Yeah, I spoke to him.
All right. Did he tell you the story with the Jew who forgot Maimonides?
Yeah.
Oh, so
you told me also.
Yeah, he told you that.
I want to hear again.
Well, this is already a cliché.
That's all right. It's all right. Because the same incident seen by several people is also something.
Yeah, that's true, but I wasn't there.
You wasn't there. Okay. All right.
I got it from Goman.
He told it to you?
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
So you don't have to.
Okay,
yeah.
I don't have it, yeah.
Yeah. I mentioned before about Rav Shach, that's all.
Yeah.
I ate a dog in his house.
In Kletz?
In Kletz, in Shiva's house, in his house.
Yeah.
And I remember him with a Schwarze board.
Yeah, yeah.
A younger Shiva.
I just read the, an article about him in the Yeshiva from last year. They have a picture of him like that.
Yeah, which magazine?
Yiddishavot.
Oh, the Yiddishavot.
Yeah, I read that.
Oh, sure, I get it too, yeah.
I read only the stories from the history. I don't read anything from new things.
In fact, I had an article there a few months ago about the Mashgiach. A piece of iron in an attic.
Which Mazgir?
Avkletsky.
I don't know. What was his name?
Rav Yosef Ayyalib in an attic.
How do you spell it?
Nun Dalet Yud Kuf.
Nun Dalet Yud Kuf.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that. Oh, this year. I can't read them all the time. I can only read them a year back.
Really?
I can't. I have no time. So I just read it only when I have nothing else to do.
Uh-huh.
If I go to sleep, I look at it and I fall asleep. But otherwise, I don't read it. But I'm very interested in these stories that they write there.
Yeah. No, he was a special. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Shmuel Zizlo. Mm-hmm. He was a chaver of Rabbi Rochem.
What was his first name again?
Rabbi Yosef Ayyalib.
Yosef?
Ayyalib.
Ayyalib
Nenedik. He also killed in the Holocaust. Uh-huh. Hashem Yim Gundom. So he was so close to Rabbi Rochem that he said to each other do instead of ear.
What did he say?
In Europe, in the yeshiva, even a young bocher, they say ear.
Ear?
Ear instead of do.
That's what Rabbi Rochem called him.
He and Rabbi Rochem each other said do, like brothers.
You're so close.
Yeah.
I tell you a story. I just got this. Somebody on the internet, a lady from Oregon, she has a website dedicated to the Mir.
Really?
Yeah. So she sends me, and she has like a whole mailing list, every month or two, pictures and stories from the Mir.
Mm-hmm.
From anybody, from the yeshiva, this yeshiva, else. And just last week, she sent me a picture, a set of pictures that she got from somebody. I forgot the man's name. You probably know him. He's from Eretz Yisrael. Pictures from the Levaya of Rabbi Yerucham.
Mm-hmm.
And in that picture, I said, there's Rabbi Ginsburg's father's in there.
Mm-hmm.
I said, he's in there too. Somebody made a picture of him too. So it was very, and I was looking, they had pictures of the boys, how they went dacha and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And Lebik de Kehever, like real, very well dressed, and you know, Mira Kehever, like in the middle 30s.
They were dressed with gray hats.
Yeah, gray suits. Very nice, very nice, very well groomed.
Right.
Very well groomed.
Right.
As I claim, because I wasn't mere myself, I went to visit. An uphill, wouldn't give it, you wouldn't even stop there for nothing. It's such an old, junk place.
Yeah.
Said, this is the mere. It has no, that whole area, the whole Belarus is very dreary. Very dreary, for love in the place.
Yeah.
There's nothing there.
Yeah.
Belarus and all these places.
It's
just, these are not countries, they're like leftovers. Not worth anything.
It's like a big Beis Olam.
That's right. Not only the Beis Olam, I feel the Goyim on people, they're like Falozin. They have nothing. Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Especially in Russia,
Yeah, that part of Russia. I don't know. This is not yet Russia, it's Belarus.
Mm-hmm.
So if I wasn't a place. But you were telling me something just now, I lost track.
Yeah.
You went to Rav Shach.
Yeah. So I remember everything so many years ago.
Yeah.
Whenever I traveled to Eretz Yisrael, I used to come into my park and say Shalom Aleichem
and talk
to him. In fact, I wanted to pay him for the tag I ate at his home. He wouldn't take it. He didn't like it. Now, in 1993, 10 years ago, I resigned voluntarily my position.
Yeah.
And my wife and I went to Shulayim to find a dairy, to buy a dairy.
You wanted to go there?
Yeah, make Aliyah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because all my life I had this Shifa.
Oh, I also have that. I don't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to do it.
Well, it depends. Chazanish writes, before he came in the toilet, before he came to the soil, he will only come if the panos is assured.
Uh-huh.
Or else no.
Uh-huh. I don't have to get parnasa, I have to retire.
No, I understand. But even that, you have to have enough income.
Yeah.
This goes way back to more than 150 years.
Yeah.
I was also does it.
Yeah.
Amor, he had a visitor from Yerushalayim.
Yeah.
A Shadash, shluch ad rabonu a choshev ad amet chochem or er had a shayla.
Yeah.
At that time already the big pogroms begin. And the life
in Russia.
In Russia was so bad, the poverty and the official government discrimination.
Yeah.
So Eden went either to America,
yeah,
or to some, literally Eden went to South Africa.
Yeah.
And the British Eden either to Russia,
yeah,
or to Eretz Israel, Palestine at that time.
They went to Russia?
No, I mean to either to America.
Yeah.
I made a mistake.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, America or to they left Russia.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Because Poland was also Russia.
Part of Russia, yeah, yeah.
Now, so the Shaila was, who's on Eden for?
Mm-hmm.
America or Eretz Israel?
Yeah.
Eretz Israel listened to the Shaila. He paced the floor. He saw he was wrestling with himself.
Yeah.
And his face was flushed.
Yeah.
Finally, he said one word. America.
Uh-huh.
The Shaddam was shocked. Rebbe. Schatrefe never did it. Sind doch nicht gemischt werden, die Goyim.
Yeah.
Ich weiß, sagt er. Aber, also vorne in Palestine, at that time was, economic situation was very bad.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't make a living, they'll come back and become a raglim.
Uh-huh.
And a raglim is worse than anything else.
Raglim.
Raglim.
Oh, so red and schlacht.
Oh, yeah. Er sagt, es ist schlecht, man kann nicht leben dort.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Same thing with before, that Chazanish, he said he could come only, his wife was had a little store with textile.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise he wouldn't come, he said. He doesn't want to be a burden on the tzibur.
Uh-huh. But he never had a position, the Chazanish.
No,
right?
He did.
He did?
Oh, in my shtetl, states.
Oh, in Europe he had a position.
Yeah, in Europe,
before,
during the First War.
What was his shtetl?
What does it? They were running away, the German armies are coming.
Uh-huh.
So he came to our shtetl, states.
Yeah.
And it's a big that Miss Madison learned. People didn't pay much attention to him.
Yeah.
Some people thought that was some modern young man. All he does is learn it. But the Rav was Rav Sarotskin, older brother from Rav Zalman Sarotskin. So he spoke with him a little bit, and he realized right away with whom he's dealing. Rav Sarotskin had to leave the town.
Uh-huh.
I think the Russian authorities told him to get out. Whatever. So he came, he asked Rav Zanish to take over the opponents till he comes back.
Uh-huh.
He didn't want to, but the button was like a button by him. Rabbi, my home is called Rabbi Shot.
Yeah. So it became the Rav.
So it became Rav for, I don't know, for a year or whatever it is. And he passed in Shailas and all that.
Yeah. Okay, so you wouldn't finish the story with Rav Shach, did you?
Yeah. No. So, as I said, 10 years ago, we decided to quit.
Yeah.
America and go to Israel.
Yeah.
I have children in Israel.
Yeah.
And grandchildren and great grandchildren.
Uh-huh.
Then I go to Rav Shach.
Yeah.
10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me, "Was stood your door?" With these other words.
Yeah.
So I told him, "Pensial, yeah." He shook his head negatively back and forth.
Yeah.
No. Nein. Gate Zurich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
I asked him to repeat because I didn't understand. I was shocked.
Yeah.
Not your sake. Why? Here's words.
Yeah.
I quote him in my sefer.
Yeah.
Chinuch los benetipa.
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
You're still in chinuch?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Chinuch los benetipa.
Los benetipa. So I immediately called up the office.
Yeah.
Of the BGE and said, "Yes, your name is still on the door. We're waiting for you."
Uh-huh. No,
I'm there since then on part time now.
What?
Semi-retired.
The Chofetz Chaim also they didn't let him go.
Oh, Chofetz Chaim didn't go because Menashe Maim didn't let him go.
Oh, something went wrong.
The Rebbe got sick.
Uh-huh.
Twice.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
I was in his by his cave in Raden. I was in his house.
Uh-huh.
I heard somebody told me they took the house away and brought it to America.
don't know.
I don't know what they did, but anyway, I was by the Maseva. Mm-hmm. The Enoch was put up a beautiful Maseva there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no Jews there.
No Jews.
There's only one Jew.
Yeah.
He tells the whole story.
Yeah,
Zechainus. Yeah, that's all that's left there. But I had to go there. I wanted to see what it's like, and that's it. Finished.
You know, so you went up, there was a time before the war yet that some people wanted to take Chutz Chaim's caver and take him to Israel.
Yeah.
Chaim Eizah didn't allow.
Uh-huh.
He said, there's other gedolim. There are more other gedolim.
They're still here.
We cannot do it.
They brought the Chidah to Israel.
Yeah, Chidah.
Yeah. They have it in Harmonukas.
Yeah, I know, but at the entrance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to tell you about this. Oh, I'll tell you something about Rav Shach with me. He was a very friendly person.
Yeah, yes.
Very friendly. And I was there like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And we were in Bnei Brak, so I went with a friend from us, from Haifa, they came down. And they said, I said, I want to go see Rav Shach. So the lady said, yeah, I want to go too. I want to bring my son. She gave him a bracha.
Mm-hmm.
She had a son like 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And the husband's a regular Israeli man. So we went to Panovich and we found him. Mm-hmm. He's coming out by Milcha. He said a nice hello, very nice. And the mother says, he should give the son a bracha. So he says, yeah, I'll give him a bracha, should be a Talmud Chacham. And he says, he turns to the father with a kippah through guy and says, Vata tazrich oto.
Mm-hmm.
Told the father. That's the end of it. So they had a bar mitzvah that we went to the bar mitzvah in Haifa. So the father, Eshen, we died young, he said, you know what Rav Shach told me? Atata Zichoto. He told everybody. He kept on repeating. He says, Atata Zichoto.
Mm-hmm.
So he was so despoiled, like from the Rav Shach told him to do that. But it was amazing to me how friendly he was.
Yeah.
And like at Lib Gahadin.
I'm
sorry, I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, any more?
That's about it.
Okay, so then tell me this. Could you give me a statement of what your impression was that Rav Kotlazal Ofketon for us, an American, the Gans Welt? What's their legacy?
Yeah. Well, what he did in America is not only one thing. First and foremost, he built an empire of terror in Lakewood.
Mm-hmm.
When he came, people told him it will not work in America. Without college, it will not work.
Uh-huh.
And you know why is it called the Svetash Gavua and not Yeshiva? In Klesk, it was called Yeshiva Yitzchayim.
Uh-huh.
Well, what happened to the name?
Yeah.
So I was told, I read it somewhere, that Balapatim begged him, don't mention Yeshiva. Uh-huh. It's not popular.
Uh-huh.
Move this to Svetash Gavua. That'll appeal better.
Uh-huh.
That's an indication.
Mm-hmm.
It has, another thing happened. There was talk at that time, early years, early 40s, about an Erev in New York.
Yeah.
So the Balabatim, the few Balabatim who supported Rosh Hashanah, said, in his presence, it's a good desire to Erev for us. We want to see him moving on Shabbos. But we can't do it. So we'll take Friday, we'll pay, and have the ticket, we can carry the ticket Shabbos. you could imagine how he felt. This is the good part about him.
But he understood. One thing I realized from with Rosh Hashiva, he was not naive.
Oh, naive.
He knew exactly where people were coming from.
That's right. That's right.
It's Fashtan and the Gans Indian.
Yeah. So he also worked with Wadatzola.
Yeah.
He said he will go even to the Pope.
Yeah.
To save a Jew.
Uh-huh.
So he worked with Wadatzola and then he worked with Aguda and then, what do you call it? In Tiramisura.
Yeah.
It's mentioned in Tiramisura. I was very close with the Fishman who's now.
Yeah.
Oliver Sean Kamenetsky was close.
Yeah.
He said, like, see, the Roshiva had a big mind, a different look.
Yeah.
For, what I mean by that, it was negotiations that he conducted.
Yeah.
With the Board of Jewish Education in New York.
Yeah.
And Pearl was her. Today there are two worlds. They wouldn't even talk to each other.
Right.
What were the negotiations? Did they make Schutfers? And the Board of Education will work only in New York, and they will serve all over the country to build schools. Heintike or Shivs wouldn't dare even to talk about it.
He could take handle it.
That's right. He had got paid the places.
Okay, that's it.
He had a sense of humor too, and he liked and the Chiddush, as I mentioned before, for the fifth generation. And I remember the story in Slabodka, in the lake, where how he jumped up. Was Will the Ivers from him home? He had the Rammer's gerecht.
You heard this from somebody.
No, I told you, Rav Katz, from Los Angeles, who was a Slabodka Talmud.
He was there.
He was there on the boat.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Zunt.
Thank you. You too.